Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
We moved to Pennsylvania 15 years ago and quickly found and got involved with LDSHE. Our association with LDSHE has blessed our lives in ways that are really too numerous to list. But one of the things that's important to mention right now has been the incredible families that we've come to know and love. I've been amazed and enriched by the diversity of their talents, interests, family situations, and their homeschooling styles and ideas. And my admiration for the mothers of these families absolutely knows no bounds. Sorry, I'm a little emotional about that. And my connection with them has been a blessing while I've prepared for this class. So one of the things that I did was, and knowing that the wisdom and experience of others would be much richer than just what I could provide alone, I've been in touch with about half a dozen of my veteran homeschool mom friends. Moms who are done with homeschooling, recently done with homeschool, or who are just finishing up with like their last year or so. And I asked them to participate in this class and to give me answers and insights into some of the things that we're gonna talk about. So I really appreciate that from them. I really appreciate their participation and their wisdom and insight. So one of the things that I noticed when talking to them was that they all talked about the same areas of development and concern for this age. And those areas were physical, spiritual, intellectual, and social. And if that sounds familiar to you, perhaps it's because these four areas coincide exactly with these books, right? Now, they were not looking at these books, you know, when I talked to them, and perhaps they're so well ingrained in their heads that that's just what came out. But these were the areas of focus for them. So today I want to share some thoughts and comments from some of my veteran homeschool mom friends. And here's what I want, what I'm hoping that you'll take away. First of all, I hope that you will walk away with like a broadened and more complete picture of these middle school years, and that whatever you thought or already knew or have experienced, that what we share today will kind of fill in those gaps and just help you have a better understanding. I also want you to I want you to feel confident in your own, what you're doing. And I want you, most of all, to feel inspired by the Spirit. So whatever I share, you know, Elder Bednar is super famous for saying, it doesn't matter so much what I say, but what the Spirit says. So I really hope that, you know, while you're sitting here and participating, that the Spirit will be present with all of us, and that you can receive ideas and promptings and thoughts about how this can apply to your own life and how perhaps you can adapt an idea for your family or your situation, and that you'll walk away with ideas and inspiration to navigate this. So first, some general comments. These years have been called the Decade of Decision. Well, I guess actually the preparation for the Decade of Decision. And on the way over here, I just live about an hour away, I was listening to Elder Hales from 2007 talk. His talk is, I don't remember what it's called now, but it talks about the Decade of Decision and how these years prepare our children for this Decade of Decision in which they will be deciding so many important things, right? During super busy times when they're still super young, and they need to have a firm foundation in these, four areas to be able to make wise decisions. So that's a super important thing. They'll be doing decisions on, like, for the boys, whether to receive the Aaronic priesthood, whether to advance in the Aaronic priesthood, whether to go on a mission. The girls, they'll be deciding, you know, are they going to be doing this? Are they going to be advancing in their preparation? Will they serve a mission? What else? Who their friends are going to be? What their talents are going to be? Who they're going to hang out with? Where they're going to go to school? What kind of training they're receive? Who they're going to date, and eventually who they're going to marry, and what their outlook on life is going to be and their priorities in life. So it's super important for them to have really deep foundations and put down deep roots during this time in their lives to prepare them for that decade of decision. Okay, also it's during this time as they're growing into their own and putting down these roots and developing themselves in these areas that they begin to develop an identity. And so before we really dive into the discussion of these four areas, I want to talk just a little bit about identity. And this is I'm interested in personal development, and one of the things that the personal development people teach us is that habits will never become personal unless they're accompanied by an identity change. Okay, so let's take the example of a pianist, because my son's a pianist and I understand music. Okay, so there is a progression of belief and identity from I'm taking piano lessons to I'm a pianist to I'm a musician, right? And how does that happen? So he started when he was six. He started taking piano lessons. At 6 years old, would he ever have said, I'm a musician? Probably not, right? If so, it would have been out of total naivety, right? But, and then he progressed to, I'm a pianist. Well, how did he get there? From practicing, right? From making it a priority and daily doing the things. Like, he's practicing every day. Okay, but not every day, okay? But like 4 or 5 times a week. And so after a certain period of time, his identity shifts from this little boy who's taking piano lessons to now an older boy who's a pianist. He can actually play stuff that people want to hear, right? And then he keeps playing. He keeps practicing. He keeps going to recitals. Maybe now he's hanging with some friends who play instruments. Maybe now he's playing for somebody else. Maybe he's playing for a church or priesthood meeting. Or maybe he is playing in small group ensembles. Maybe he's participating in competitions. And so now he's moved from, I'm a pianist, to, I am a musician, right? You see how that happens? You just keep, and it's just because you keep doing the stuff. You keep progressing, right? And so you can apply that principle to any area of life, like with a runner or with academics or with gospel commitment or with any talent. You can apply that principle of progression and moving along that continuum until you have that identity change. Okay, so this is the youth guidebook. This is to promote identity change. And I love, like, in some of the scriptures, like, the scriptures are full of people who proclaim to us their identity, right? There's the bad guy. What's his name? Is it Amulek? No. What's his name? Amalickiah, the bad guy in the Book of Mormon. He says, I am, what does he say? I can't remember because I'm just speaking off the cuff now. But who's the guy that says, behold, I'm a bold Lamanite? He's never going to change, right? Because that's his identity, right? I mean, he could if he wanted to, but, you know, it takes some work. Okay, and then there's, is it Mormon or Moroni, who says, behold, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? And then, greatest of all, there's our Savior, who repeats to us over and over again in the scriptures who he is. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, who came into the world. I do the will of my Father. I am all these things. I am that I am. So this helps our kids. Yes.
I was just going to comment in Nephi.
Yeah.
Helaman, God says to Nephi, behold, thou art Nephi and I am God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that God also tells us who we are.
Yes, he does. Thank you. He tells us who we are. We are children. We are his children. We are Moses, you are my son, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so let's consider some of these things that can help our children to build this strong, these strong areas of identity. So in spiritual, so I guess before we even start these four areas, I want to say one more thing, and that is, whatever you want your kids to do, guess what? Go ahead, tell me.
You got
to do it yourself, right? Exactly. They need to see their parents. It doesn't mean you have to do it all at once. It doesn't mean you have to be doing it in the same way or at the same time or whatever. But they need to know, if you want your kids to do it and you think it's important, you need to be doing it because they need to see you doing it. Right? So, spiritual. They need to see you doing it. They need to see you reading and studying your scriptures, which doesn't necessarily mean that they have to actually visually see you all the time, but they need to see that you are doing it, and you need to manifest to them, that to them by saying, oh my gosh, I just got to tell you what I read in the scriptures this morning, and I thought of you. And then you can tell them, and they know that you're reading your scriptures, right? They need to know that you are praying, that you are serving faithfully in your calling, that you're worshiping in the temple, paying your tithing, keeping the Sabbath day holy, and honoring and keeping your covenants, right? If you want them to do it, you have to do it. They need to hear your testimony. Share your testimony, not just in church, but share your testimony at home. And I used to teach seminary, and I would say to my seminary kids, when I say bear your testimony or share your testimony, what does that look like to you? And of course, they didn't say anything, right? Because they don't. But I would say, does that make you think of somebody up on the stand in Fast and Testimony meeting sharing their testimony? Well, that is not the only way we can share our testimonies, right? And it doesn't have to be long or elaborate. It doesn't have to be in public. And in fact, I think with our children, it's more effective if it's shorter and related to what's going on and sincere and in private. I think they really get it that way. Okay, so share your testimony privately at home, individually, and with your whole family. Share your testimony. They need you to listen to them. They're growing testimonies, their questions, and their concerns, and they need to feel like they can come to you and talk about, you know, questions they have from the gospel. Oh my gosh, I heard this. You know, what's the truth? And you can help them sort those things out and help them realize, you know, doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. Or sorry, before you, is that right? Yes, yes. Okay. Also, as a parent, make sure that you strongly encourage and support time for personal scripture study, prayers, journaling, whatever other spiritual goals and pursuits they have in here. You know, there's all kinds of things they could be doing. They could decide they're going to memorize the Proclamation on the Family or the Living Christ, or they're going to, you know, study Preach My Gospel, whatever it is. Support them on whatever their spiritual goals are, and be interested in listening to what they are doing and what they're discovering and what experiences they're having. That's so important to them. They need and want somebody, their parent, to listen and to hear it. Oh my gosh, this is prime time to share excitement with your tweens and early teens as they experience their first temple trips, right? Oh, what a joyful time. I'm not going to go emotional on that, but what a joyful time. Perhaps it's also their first time doing family history work and preparing family names for temple ordinances. Support this and make a big deal out of it. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you get to go to the temple. You're going to love it. There's such a beautiful spirit there, and I'm so glad I get to go with you. And, you know, family names, especially if it's close relatives, What a blessing. What a blessing. I got to watch my time. I think I have time to say this. So we live in York, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour from here, and we're zoned for the Philadelphia Temple, which is, it's 100 miles from us to the east. And it takes us 2.5 hours to get there because traffic is terrible for the last 20 miles. And when the temple opened, our two youngest boys were still at home. They're 20 and almost 22 now. And so we started, you know, going on these family temple trips, like baptism trips, right? And we discovered that our sons could only do 5 names at a time if you're doing temple names. And we don't have any names because our family history is, we have to go way out and way down to find, that we have nobody close that we can do work for. So we were using temple names, and we found out that they could only do 5 names per visit. And I think that's church-wide, but I'm not sure. Anyway, that was disappointing for us because it took us at least 2.5 hours to get there. And then they were there participating in temple work for maybe 45 minutes. And then we drove another 2.5 hours home. And it was a lot. And it was a lot to find a time where we could go as a family, where they could both be off work and be done, like be done with their classes, not have classes and other obligations and recitals and all the other things that they were doing. But we decided, I just remember this moment when we were having this conversation as a family and we realized that's the way it's going to be. We're going to drive 2.5 hours for a 30-minute experience, and then we're going to drive home another 2.5 hours. And we decided as a family that it was worth it. Sorry, I'm emotional again. And we decided that no matter what it took, we were going to do that, and we were going to do it as often as possible. And not only were we going to go for the blessings of the temple, but we were going to make it a family bonding experience. We were going to make it a significant experience for our family to grow closer together. And that's what we did. And we did that for, I don't know, 2 years or so before the older of the two sons went on his mission. And then the younger, maybe it was even 3 years, I don't know. And then the younger son went. But with both of those boys, they're the two youngest of 6 children. And I really believe it was that attitude and the willingness to sacrifice and to be there that caused them to have such excitement about going to the temple to receive their own endowments. And they were both so excited. They didn't go at the same time. But such joy, such joy and excitement. And I remember looking over at my youngest son when he received his in the endowment room. I'm here, he and his dad are over there, and I just looked at him, and he doesn't emote very much. He was smiling, just grinning ear to ear, and he looked radiant and glowing. And I looked over at him, and I just mouthed to him, I said, "You look so happy." And he was like, he was just so excited. And he loves the temple, and so does the older son. And my older children too, do too. I don't mean to imply that they don't. But I think that the sacrifice that we went through to create these experiences for our two younger sons really helped them prepare for and appreciate the blessings of the temple. So, what else? Oh, I know what else. I forgot this one. Okay, it's time during these middle school years, it's time to be absolutely committed and consistent in family practices of faith, such as scripture reading, daily scripture reading as a family, family prayer, family home evening, family church attendance, especially in sacrament meeting, because that's where you're renewing your covenant. What was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah. I just want to talk for just a second about scripture reading as a family. It's so hard to get it in. Let's just admit it, right? It's so hard. And you could be doing it early in the morning. That's so hard. You could be doing it late at night. So hard. Because it's just hard to get them all together, hard to get keep them from falling asleep or from interacting with other people in the family or, you know, whatever. But I will say it's so important. And whatever you have to do, you know, I had friends whose husband used to travel. He would work out of town Monday through Friday. And what do they do? Every night they had a phone call, and he was on that phone call, and they had their family scriptures and their family prayers. We used to do it on the way home from Mutual. I would hand them my phone and say, read the scriptures to us on our way home. Sometimes when we would forget, they were already in bed, and I would go into their rooms with the phone and say, guys, we forgot our family scriptures. I'm reading three verses at you so that the Lord knows, right? So that the Lord knows that we are keeping this covenant. So I read three scriptures to them, and I can't say that they were totally awake. I read three verses and left. But at least they knew that it was important to their parents, and we were willing to come in and read scriptures to them. Okay, and one of my mothers, my six mom friends, said, take the spiritual temperature of your kids all the time. She says, if you can't read it, ask in prayer. She also said, we will get answers if we seek them, and we will struggle if we don't. And I've certainly found that to be true. Okay.
Wait. Yes. How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do that?
That's a great question. So, I mean, my thought is that you need to pray. I'll just tell you what I did, okay? I won't give you advice. I will tell you what I did. I would pray to my children and say, I do not know what is going on with this child, and I don't know how to pray for this child. But you know this child, and you know what he needs. And please bless him with what he needs, and please inspire me to know what to do to help him. And also, another thing that we did is we had Sunday night interviews. They used to call them PPIs. And we had Sunday night interviews, and actually our children enjoyed that. I don't know that they enjoyed it, but I think they thought it was a positive thing. And so we were able to use that time to just check in with them and say, how are you doing? What are your concerns? How did you do this week? You know, what do you want to do better, and how can I support you? So does that, at least that's an answer. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but at least that's what I have done. Let's go on to their physical development. What is going on with these kids, tweens, early teens, into their middle teens and late teens? It's never going to happen in their lives before, hasn't happened before. What is going on? Puberty, right? I have this good friend. Oh, she's so cute. She goes, no one should have to go through puberty in public. Right? Right. Don't we all feel that we felt that way ourselves, and now we have our children going through puberty, and bless their hearts, it's rough. It's really rough. So they're experiencing all these physical and hormonal changes, right? So that is a challenge. They've never been through this before. They need us to teach them. They need us to explain to them what is going on, and they need to know that it's okay and it's normal. And they need to feel comfortable coming to us and saying, what about whatever, right? So they need to have that relationship with us. One of my veteran moms, her name's Dana, she's the mother of eight boys. She feels strongly that, and two girls, just saying. She feels strongly that boys need physical activity every day to regulate their hormones. I think both genders need to build body confidence through some sort of physical activity, perhaps not daily, but several times a week. Okay, it doesn't have to be sport. It can be anything. It can be sports, fitness, martial arts, dance, work, outdoors, animal care, etc. Doesn't have to be sports. I think you know the culture in our country is boys in sports. One of her sons got into dog sledding, spent a ton of time outside learning how to work the dog and the sleds and everything. It's a great thing. both genders need to be taught about proper hygiene, right? It used to be okay to give them a bath every other day or just on Saturday. It's not okay anymore, right? They're not born knowing this, and we have to teach them, right? They need to be taught how to wash their bodies and hair appropriately, including the necessity of frequent showers, daily showers, sometimes even twice daily, how to clean and maintain their own clothing, including the importance of proper fit, necessity of antiperspirant and deodorant, how to use razors, both genders, how to be judicious with perfumes and men's colognes, right? Instruction and open conversation on how to take care of feminine hygiene needs, how to use makeup, and expect a lot of experimentation, right, if your child is interested in makeup. This is also the time for parents to be proactive in taking care of braces and seeking medical attention to help with acne management if it's needed. Also, just talking about, you know, helping them maintain their hairstyle, their hair length. If you have short hair like I do, I go see my hair person once every 4.5 or 5 weeks. Boys are going to need their hair cut probably a little more often. Girls with longer hair, maybe not so much, right? And, of course, then that means that you as the parent are on the hook because they can't drive themselves yet, right? You're on the hook for driving them and for finding somebody who can help them take care of their hair and their other needs. This is also the time to make sure that they have a correct knowledge and understanding from you of human sexuality. And it's so important to maintain open communication and conversation about that throughout their growing years. It's also a great time, an important time, to push them to try new physical things. All things, really, but including physical things. It's a time for self-discovery, and they may just find a new activity that they love. And just one quick example from my fifth child, who's almost 22 now on a mission. When he was, I think, 8th grade or 7th grade, maybe, he decided he wanted to try swimming. Okay, fine. You know, so I got him on the high school swim club. It wasn't the team, it was the club where they do all the training and everything. And he went and he did it, and you know, it includes land training, right, for those of you who know anything about swimming. So they do their stuff in the pool and then they get out and the coach makes them go run for several miles, right? So he loved his participation there, but he didn't love swimming. He liked to mess around in the water, but he didn't really love swimming so much. But he did find out that he was a fast runner. He was really fast. And he enjoyed it. And so, and he was good at it. So that started an interest in running, which he still has today. He may never have discovered that had it not been for that little foray into swimming. Also good time to develop healthy eating habits and learn some basics about good nutrition. And also good time to keep in conversation the word of wisdom and to teach children that they can make decisions right now about how they will live the word of wisdom. You know, you can decide right now that you're never going to have an alcoholic drink, or you're never going to have coffee, you're never going to smoke, and you can just recommit to yourself. But there's no waffling about it. If you make that commitment now, you can just say, this is a commitment, and I'm not going to go there. And so if anybody ever asks me, then the answer is, no, I don't drink. Or whatever, right? And you have to maybe revisit that and just reaffirm to yourself that, you know, that's your commitment. But great time to talk about that as well. Yes?
I just wanted to make a comment. While you're teaching the word of wisdom, make sure that you include vaping in there.
Because, oh, yes. Thank you.
My nephew just was hospitalized for vaping. And he had to have surgery.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, that does not good for you. Your lungs are not made to handle water, right? Yeah. Okay, yes.
Along with the word of wisdom, mm-hmm. We focus so much on the don'ts.
Yes.
We forget to teach the do's. So make
yes.
sure you're teaching, like, eating lots of fruits and vegetables and whole grains.
Right.
And incorporate those healthy habits at that age so that they can carry them with them.
Right. Good nutrition. Yeah, thank you. Let's go on to intellectual. Okay, so this is a time, several of the moms told me this. This is a time to solidify your core essentials. Okay. What are the core essentials? Well, one of the moms said to me, and I believe this, I think all the moms would agree with me, is they're up for debate. And you get to decide, since you're the homeschooling mom, you get to decide what those core essentials look like, right? How much math do they have to have? How much writing do they need? How much history and government and social studies and science, how much do they need? That is up to you to decide. And so that, you know, that's a thing. You get to decide that, and you can base that on all kinds of things. At some point during this phase, several moms told me, your children are likely to transition from doing school, because mom said so, because that's what we do, we just do school, to needing school to be relevant and interesting and meaningful, personally meaningful to them, or they won't do it, or they'll struggle to do it, because they don't see how it matters. It doesn't have personal relevance. So this is a great time to get that stuff in that you really feel strongly about, that you feel like they need to know and have a strong foundation in. This time, solidifying the core is making sure that their foundations are strong. Are strong and prepare them for scholarship in high school and beyond. One of my moms emphasized the importance and desirability of including memorization. She thinks it's fun, and she thinks that you can make it fun for your kids, and she thinks it's really one of the greatest things that you can do to bless your kids is to have them memorize stuff. Let's see, what else? Also a time to push them to try new things, right? Like a language, like what talents and interests. So we're talking about intellectual. We're not just talking about schoolwork. We're talking about other talents, other interests, other intellectual pursuits, things like that. Great time for them to explore things and discover what their talents and interests and passions are. What they choose, they're going to choose things over these years, these middle school years into their high school years, and what they choose and what they gravitate towards is going to determine in large part their social groups, who they hang out with, and what they're doing. And so, you know, you want to be very aware of what's going on, and you want to kind of direct and guide and help them on this journey. So a number of years ago, when my two youngest boys were pretty young, I just had this idea to do a talent and interest survey with them. And I was writing in my journal one day, and I thought, well, why don't I just write down what I think their talents and interests are? So I made a list for each of my two youngest boys. And then I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask them to make a list without me telling them that I'd already done it. So I said to them, I want you to make a list of what you think your talents and interests are, like whatever you're interested in, whatever you think you're good at. And so then I had some one-on-one time with each of them. And it was so interesting. Everything that was on their list was on my list, and except my list had more stuff. Because I'm an adult, you know, and I can see things that they can't. But it was so interesting that they already had an idea of who they were and what their talents and interests were. And I just want to speak for a moment to the IEP, the Individual Education Program. In the brick and mortar schools, oftentimes it's considered a label, right? It's a label for children who struggle, have disabilities, and also for children who are gifted, and they participate in the gifted programs. I want to shift that paradigm to meaning what the words really say, which is an individual education program. And as homeschool moms, like, we're so fortunate because we can have these conversations with our kids, and we can help them determine what their needs and interests are, and then we can craft their education around that to lift them and to, like, get them really enthused about studying and things that they're interested in. So I love that. It's our privilege to do that. Okay, my homeschool mom said, teach children how to learn and teach them that they can learn anything. And they can teach themselves or learn with the help of mentors anything they want or need to know. They said, make it fun. Make sure you don't kill their love for learning. invite friends, join co-ops, take classes, go places and do stuff. I heard that over and over again. These moms who are veterans of, you know, 20-something years said, go places, do stuff with your kids. It's enriching. Take advantage of opportunities. And they also said, relationship before scholarship. Otherwise, there will never be scholarship. That's a quote. I'm not sure I'm getting it word for word, but that's from Glenn Kimber, quoted to me by one of these moms. Relationship before scholarship. Otherwise, there will never be scholarship. So use these years to build relationships with your kids. So just a few more messages from my veteran homeschool mom team. Do stuff together. Don't be too angry or busy or reactionary. This will drive kids away from parents and to friends. One of my mom, Dana, the mom of 10, she's our veteran homeschooler. She's homeschooled for 39 years. Thank you. And she said, during this time, she said, boys get stupid and girls get emotional. And don't overreact. Ignore what comes out of their mouths, because that's not really them. That's not really who they are. They're just having all these emotions and all these hormones, and they don't know what to do with themselves, and they're just forming their own opinions and finding out who they are. Don't overreact. Okay. Kids will not accept your opinion of their friends without a solid relationship with you. So once again, build that relationship. You must be kind and friendly to all their friends. Relationship problems often start in high school, so it's important to build the relationship now and keep building it, keep working. They need to know you love them. They need to know that you are on their side. Kids need to know that they are loved by their parents, and they need to know that they have a place in the family and that they are valued and cherished in the family. We must be willing and able to answer their questions, or they'll go somewhere else for answers, and we may not like where they go. And they also need to know that their church leaders care for them. That's the end of my mom list for that. Let's go on to socialization. I want to do this, and then for the last several minutes, I want to give you guys time to just write down some of the things that you've thoughts that you've had, and ways that you've been able to apply some of these things to your own life. And I would love some sharing at that point, if we can have that. Okay, socialization outside the family circle becomes increasingly important. And it's our job as moms to facilitate that. And I think we're so lucky as homeschool moms that we get to participate so much in our lives. I actually have a sister-in-law who had to work throughout her children's growing years. And when she learned about my homeschooling, one time she told me, I'm so envious that you got to invest so much in your children. And that is such a blessing for us as homeschool moms, that we get to invest our time and our lives and our best efforts into homeschooling our children. So if we've been doing that, then, and we have a good relationship with our children, and we still are working on that relationship constantly, we treat them with love and respect, they know they're loved, then they will still allow us to participate in their socialization. And one of my moms said, practice guided socialization, which I love. I love that term, because she went on to say, it's natural to be friendly, but not always natural to be social, right? And there's a difference. The kid might be friendly, but they might not have learned yet how to be social. So it's our job. We're training them to be social. We are their model, their mentor, and we model and mentor conversation and friendships and socialization. Okay, so ways to facilitate social interaction. My friend Dana had pizza parties at her house every Friday night, pizza and games, homemade pizza. So they got to come and they got to build their own pizza, be in the kitchen together, having an experience together. They loved that. They enjoyed that. And then games. My sister-in-law, Shauna, hosted parties at home forever where you can be present, like in the same room or in the next room, and they're doing these activities, but you can still be aware of what's going on. And if you need to step in and, you know, when things are getting ridiculous or they're running out of things to say or whatever, you can step in and say, okay, guys, it's time for banana shakes, banana splits. Come on up, and we're going to do ice cream. You know, then you are able to facilitate that where your kids might not be able to say that. I think, you know, we might want to go upstairs and have ice cream now, you know. You can facilitate that for your children. Hosting activities in your home helps your children's friends to be comfortable in your home and with you and your other family members, which is a great blessing because then when they're invited over by your kids, they're not uncomfortable going, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, I don't know if his parents are weird. You know? But it just helps them to be comfortable and helps you to be able to guide and facilitate. Big thing that my veteran mom team said is keep them off social media and devices. Keep them off. Okay. I'm going to say this. This is hard to say, but I'm going to say it. Several of these veteran homeschool mom friends who they know each other, most of them, not all of them. They know each other, but they don't live close together, and they're not in constant contact. This came from several of them. They said they are noticing a trend among moms away from building relationships with their children and toward providing experiences and opportunities, partly to the end of creating more personal time for the moms themselves and lightening the burden of responsibility. Okay, now I want to address what I just said. Okay, I'm going to say one more thing first. Their comment was, some of these moms are not willing to make the necessary sacrifices. And now I want to say this. Of course, it is not wrong to provide your children with opportunities and experiences. That's the good thing to do. But and of course, we need personal time. And we need that burden of responsibility lifted sometimes because we have to have time for personal renewal. But I want to suggest that now is the time to lean into your temple covenants of sacrifice and consecration and apply those covenants to your role as a homeschooling mom. It's more important now than ever in the history of the world. It's more important now than ever before in your children's preparation. It's more important now than ever before as your children build their identities. And it's more important now than ever before as your children head into their decade of decisions. So I just want to encourage you to examine your life and see what you need to do to grant yourselves the time and the relief that you need, but also to be fully engaged with your children in building relationships and, excuse me, supporting them in their homeschool journey. All right, that's all I have to share. I would love to hear from you guys. Like, what have you experienced? What have you felt? What are the thoughts that you've had? What are your takeaways? Love to hear. Yes.
I don't have any takeaways, but I do have a question for the group, which is more like, what are you all doing? What's helping you build those relationships?
Okay.
How are you all sacrificing right now?
Great question. Yeah.
So I was going to say, because I have a little, I have a daughter who's already graduated and I have a high schooler.
Uh-huh.
And so looking back with my daughter, I definitely wish, like, you know, I was a young mom and I just felt very, like, panicked. I never knew what I was doing. And
right.
I was so scared and, you know, and it just really, it hurt me instead of helped me, like, that fear. And looking back now, I definitely wish, and we have a good relationship now, but a really good relationship, but looking back, because I finally figured out relationships were more important than what she was getting, or if I was providing her with enough, or, you know, where I'm like, as long as she knew she was loved and felt safe and that she was listened to, I think that's the biggest thing, like you were saying. But they come a time, I noticed with my boys, they don't give up information like Savannah did, but they will when they're ready. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, I have to be ready at that moment. And then you just listen instead of go, well, I really think that you should, you know, instead of like giving advice right away. It's like just listening and going, that's really interesting. And then at those certain times that it's necessary, give some information. And then also just being the example instead of pushing everything on them, like you said, be the example of what to do is better. So, I don't know.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, in the white shirt.
So we've just always had with our kids, mostly with the younger one, because you know, with the first few years, you're still learning how to be a parent.
You're still learning, for sure.
We're more seasoned, and so we've always felt it important to have open communication. Mm-hmm. You know, and we just talk about everything. We're like, we don't like scroll one away and, you know, talk privately. We just talk openly about everything with the family. And so they feel comfortable coming to us. It's like if they have a question about anything, they know that we're always going to be there, and they don't feel shy. They don't feel like, hey, because puberty is like so crazy for them. And all these changes are going through their body, and they have questions about it. And so we have always felt that with open communication, they have no inhibitions about coming to us and asking us questions instead of going somewhere else to find the answers.
Fantastic. So listening and communication. Yes, in the maroon shirt.
So I have two kids, and my husband and I started taking our boys on individual dates.
Oh, yes. So
my
good.
My husband would take one kid, and I would take another kid, and they each got to pick an activity. And more often than not, it was helping Dad do a project around the house, or it was getting to watch a movie with Mom and Dad. But they would look forward to that one-on-one time, and more often than not, we would turn off, at least with me, because they think all I do is watch movies, because that's all they want to do with me. We would turn off the movie, and we have these really cool conversations that I never would be able to get if they were together, or if our whole family was together, to have that important one-on-one time, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, great. Okay. I would love to hear more comments, but I just got the stop sign. So I have to stop. But I want to thank you all for being here. I hope that you felt the Spirit whisper to you and give you some ideas that will help you on your journey as you homeschool these middle years. Thank you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.